In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Venerable religious and your parishioners, every year on the last Sunday after Pentecost, we are given this apocalyptic gospel. And it certainly seems that some of these signs have been fulfilled already. And the church teaches us that, you know, there at the end of the world, Christ will come again. And various signs will happen. And of course, throughout history, when things got really bad in society, people believed that that end was near, that it was already happening. But obviously, it's going to happen at some point. And I'd like to reflect on a few of the words of the gospel for today, but also encourage you with the consoling words of the epistle. Our Lord says to his disciples, when you see the abomination of desolation standing in the holy place, which was spoken of by Daniel the prophet, I would like to comment on that. And I'm using here the commentary from the excellent Haydock Bible, in which there are many footnotes about, well, for the whole Bible. I mean, sometimes there's more footnotes on a page than there's actual text. There's so many good references. So I would like to read to you what is meant by the abomination of desolation, okay? The abomination of desolation was first partly fulfilled by diverse profanations of the temple, as when this image of Caesar was set up in the temple by Pilate, and Adrian's statue in the Holy of Holies. So there was no greater abomination to the Jewish people than to see the image of Caesar. Remember, the pagan Romans were expected to consider the Roman emperors as divine. I mean, it was just a total abomination. And then Hadrian, the Emperor Hadrian, even had it, or the statue of him was placed in the Holy of Holies. Now, they hadn't had the Ark of the Covenant ever since the destruction of Jerusalem in 584 BC or somewhere around there. The Ark of the Covenant never came back. And as I love to point out, Our Lady is the Ark of the Covenant in the New Testament. The most sacred object that the Jewish people had in the Old Testament, the Ark of the Covenant, gave way to something far more precious, far more holy, far more dignified, and that is our Blessed Mother herself, who carried within her Almighty God. So that's why the old things have passed. Christ fulfilled the old law. The new law is now in place. And as I said, Our Lady is the Ark of the Covenant. But still, to the Jewish people, to see such those that didn't convert to Christianity, this was just a horrible abomination. They just couldn't imagine it being worse. So this abomination of desolation will be more completely fulfilled by Antichrist and his precursors when they shall attempt to abolish the holy sacrifice of the Mass. So this was written in the 1800s, and it's very clear that that has taken place. Remember when Paul VI forbade anywhere the offering of the true sacrifice and put in its place what Cardinal Ottaviani had said is a Protestantized liturgy. And by their own admission, they took out of the true holy sacrifice of the Mass the things that would offend or be displeasing to Protestants. Why in the world should that have ever happened? So, And especially when we read of the countless sacrileges that have happened, the horrible stories you read of what goes on at the Novus Ordo, I see this as fulfillment of that, the holy sacrifice of the Mass, the real effort to suppress it. St. Hippolytus, in his treatise of the Antichrist, mentioned by Eusebius, St. Jerome, and Photius, thus writes, "The churches shall lament with great lamentations, because there shall neither be made oblations, nor incense, nor worship grateful to God. In those days the liturgy or mass shall be neglected, the psalmody shall cease, the reciting of scripture shall not be heard." So definitely we know what our Lord was talking about, but our Lord was prophesying that effort to eliminate the true sacrifice of the Mass. And again, the Mass is the greatest thing imaginable. This is an infinite thing that happens. No wonder the devil hates it so much. Because God comes down on the altar in every sacrifice of the Mass. Of course, our Lord resides in the tabernacle. But the devil cannot stand the Mass. He'll do anything to put it down, to discourage it, to eliminate it if he could. And in each Mass, Christ in his human nature offers infinitely perfect adoration, thanksgiving, atonement, and supplication on our behalf. How privileged we are to be present. With faith, we will bow down in deepest adoration and love and prayer. So we also see our, just talking about a couple of other phrases, our Lord counsels being prepared for, he says, flee to the mountains. Now that can be taken literally or metaphorically. And so it is certainly not wrong. I think it's very wise to just be prepared. You know, you certainly have the God-given right to provide for yourselves, to defend yourselves. Hopefully we won't have great disturbances in our society. Again, we're praying mightily the Holy Rosary, which, as we know, brings peace to the world and peace to our country. But our Lord counsels preparedness. And you have to remember that back then there were very strict, overly strict interpretations of the Sabbath observance, where if you walked more than 200 paces, you were guilty, according to the interpretations, the overly strict interpretations of the law, you are guilty of breaking the Sabbath. So that's why our Lord said, pray that your flight be not in the winter or on the Sabbath, because then they would feel guilty for breaking the law, even though they were trying to save their lives. Our Lord teaches us also to beware of false Christs and false prophets, and those certainly have arisen. Cling to your traditional Catholic faith. And faith is not, that great feeling that we would like to have. Faith is our conviction. Faith is our firm, immovable belief in Almighty God and trusting in Him, no matter what may happen. So, again, these are the words that I wanted to comment on from the Gospel, but let's look at the Epistle, and what does St. Paul say? We have been praying for you unceasingly. Notice that adverb, unceasingly. I don't think that means in the literal sense where St. Paul was praying every second of his waking days, of his waking hours, but getting across the point of how much he would pray. And this is what we all need to do. May you walk worthily of God and please Him in all things, bearing fruit in every good work and growing in the knowledge of God. May you be completely strengthened through His glorious power. Remember who's in charge. Almighty God. He does allow evil to happen. We won't always understand how and why that is. But being with God is to be on the winning side. So we see this beautiful prayer and that St. Paul mentions in the epistle, and unto perfect patience and long-suffering, joyfully rendering thanks to God the Father. Joyfully rendering thanks. Thanksgiving is a time, it's not a religious feast, but certainly a good day, any day is a good one to give joyful thanks to God for his grace, for giving us the faith, for giving us the good news of the gospel. So let your, as we always finish this last year of, or excuse me, this last Sunday of the church year with these somber reflections, remember the powerful words of encouragement that St. Paul gives us in today's epistle. And keep praying, be prayer warriors. And again, God's grace and our Blessed Mother's help will assist us through whatever we may need to go through. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.